Welcome to the Inbound Logistics Video Podcast Series presented by Inbound Logistics Magazine. Today, we're looking at the dynamic and sometimes volatile landscape of transportation and how companies can keep up with the changes. Joining us is George Swartz, Vice President of Shipper Solutions for LoadSmart. And here is our host, Amy Roach.
Hi, great. Thanks, Jeff. And George, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Amy. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we are going to have a great discussion talking about some of the issues that are driving change in the transportation market today. But before we jump in, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about LoadSmart and what the company offers and your role there at the company?
Sure. I'm happy to do it. LoadSmart, we were founded, we're coming up on 10 years ago, initially as a freight brokerage, and then we branched into digital and SaaS solutions. And then our most recent addition is managed transportation solutions and services. And I actually serve as the vice president of sales for the managed transportation group that we also refer to as Shipper Solutions. I joined LoadSmart last summer. And have been in the distribution and logistics industry for 3+ decades. When you get to 3 decades, you stop counting, but started out on the carrier and shipper sales side years ago in my career, spent quite a bit of time in services and consulting. And as I said, just joined LoadSmart last summer to build out our sales capability in this space.
Okay, great. So new to LoadSmart, but not new to the industry. That's good. You'll have lots of insight for us. Let's start then kind of generally background. What are you seeing as some of the top challenges for your customers today? And, you know, what kind of pain points are they coming to LoadSmart to get help with?
Yeah, there's a number of them. And a lot of it has to do with shifting demographics and shifting customer expectations, which have changed the landscape of the logistics industry. If you look at the time to market these days, it has been truncated, shortened. People have a much higher degree of expectation around how quickly they're going to get things. And whether that's, you know, ordering online from Amazon and expecting it later that day or the next day, or whether it's at the office and placing orders, but expecting those to be, you know, there quickly because I'm ordering less, but I'm ordering more frequently to keep inventories down. This got exacerbated during COVID when demand exploded. Everyone was at home. We were ordering things like crazy. Everybody was building inventories, opening distribution centers, taxing the daylights out of the transportation landscape. But, you know, we've come out of that and we've started back down the curve, but some of that expectation is still there. Add to that a lot of supply chain disruption in the last, you know, several years. And we've seen a lot of it just recently. All I have to do is point to, you know, Port of Baltimore a couple of weeks ago and the impacts that that has. We look at what's going on in the Middle East and supply disruptions through the Suez. We've had numerous issues with the Panama Canal. All of those things affect goods getting here, which means I'm starting to nearshore a little bit more. I'm starting to get more inventory builds closer to where I need it so that I'm not as dependent on longer supply chains that may get disrupted. So it's definitely changed behavior. I also look at another major factor we see is the shift in the workforce. And it starts with trucking, for example, where we don't have as many people going into that as a profession. So it creates shortages amongst drivers. And even while we're not at peak capacities right now, we're still seeing driver shortages and issues associated with that. You look at, you know, kind of how things have shifted from a from a military standpoint. That used to feed lots of truck drivers coming out of the military who were trained and going into that profession. We see the same thing with pilots today, not seeing as many trained and going into that profession. That creates shortages, and then we have to come up with other ways to attract people into that. And then when you look at just logistics, distribution, supply chain as a career path with baby boomers, Gen Xers, that was a very popular degree to get. It was very popular and very significantly growing landscape for that type of career. A lot of those people are aging out. They're moving up into positions of responsibility, but they're not getting backfilled with millennials and Gen Zers, because they're not going into the space as readily as baby boomers and Gen Xers were. So those are some of the things that are impacting, logistics and supply chain and transportation specifically.
Got it. Yeah. A lot of challenges, a lot of complexity, a lot of variability. it's a tough time. And so I know for a lot of shippers, they turn to, transportation management system as a good tool to manage some of these complexities. On the other side, they can take a long time to implement and they can be, kind of costly as well. So what are some alternatives? What else are shippers, looking for in terms of tools and strategies to get through all those pain points that you just mentioned?
Yep. And it's interesting you mentioned the cost and the time. When you're looking at a tier one or tier two TMS, transportation management solution, you're absolutely right. It can be very expensive. It can take 6 months to a year to get put into place by the time you do all the integration and everything else, plus your costs escalate as you do that. Options that they're looking for are someone to come in and augment what they do, a form of a managed transportation service, or they're looking for somebody to come in and manage it from end to end. There are SaaS solutions out there, which, can be somewhat less expensive and less daunting than on-premise solutions, but they still come with some of the same challenges. So managed transportation is growing from a standpoint of bringing in basically experts and outsourcing all or part of your transportation management. And those typically come with some platform elements to them combined with expertise and personnel that a third party is providing for you.
Got it. Okay. So if you're a shipper and you're sort of choosing between the two, whether you want to go a TMS technology route or you want to do more of a managed transportation, I guess, what are some of the pros and cons, or what would you be comparing? What would you advise a shipper to look at?
You want to kind of define what it is you're solving for. So What is the pain point? Do you have a lot of LTL and you need to optimize? You need to be able to consolidate loads and shipments, that sort of thing. You want to be able to do modal analysis and figure out when is it advantageous to go to intermodal versus truckload. So I'm looking at all of those kind of things. If those are needs, then you want a solution that has optimization capabilities. Most tier one TMSs are going to have a decent optimization capability, and some of the tier twos will as well. But you want to look at, all right, along with that, once I've defined what I need, what am I going to compare it to from a cost standpoint? If I look at a third party solution coming in, it can be far more cost effective and take a lot less time. If you look at, LoadSmart, we have a base platform called Shipper Guide TMS, and then we add solutions to it from our managed transportation optimization as a service, load planning, freight pay and audit. All of those things can be combined to give you the full functionality that you would get with a tier one TMS, but you also get expertise to do some of the things that you may not know how to do or be good at doing. So, it's really kind of comparing, do I need to own it? Do I need to control everything? Or would I like my core competency to be more around manufacturing and distribution, and I'm going to use a third party to provide expertise in the transportation management and load planning side of it?
Makes sense. Those are good points. And another thing that shippers are juggling a lot of times, they're working with multiple carriers. So what are some of the issues that shippers face when they're managing their carrier base, and what can they do to be more effective?
It's interesting because there's a couple things going on. If you go back 15, 20 years ago, you would do a core carrier program bid once a year. You'd lock in your contract carriers, put out your routing guide, and you were good to go. Today, the market's a lot more volatile. It goes up and down, from a price standpoint. If you're locked into contract rates across all your lanes, you may not be able to take advantage of that. We're seeing a lot more companies adopt spot buying and work in the spot market and utilizing brokers in addition to contracted lanes. And to be able to do that requires expertise. It requires tools to be able to look at the market and stay up with the changes in the market and take advantage of them, knowing when to lock in. So you really need good sourcing and procurement skills to be able to do that well. on the carrier management side, this is especially important for retailers or people selling into the retail market. Major retailers have retail compliance programs in place where if you're not on time, you're late or you're early, either one, it can cost you serious penalties. And you know, that can run into tens of thousands of dollars. You want to have somebody who can manage that carrier base, do carrier performance, get the right KPIs in place, and take action when carriers aren't doing what you need them to do. So again, it's back to focus, it's back to skill sets and the ability to do this combined with tools that let you source and procure a lot better.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And how does the technology, you know, play a role there? How does that help in carrier management?
There's a number of things. One, just on the sourcing and procurement side, it's getting or having access to real-time rates, you know, with the carriers that are out there, so that you can manage that spot market. You can get the best rates. On the carrier performance side, it's tracking and tracing to be able to keep track, make sure I'm not going to be late, I'm not going to be early, so I can take action, expedite when needed, or you know, work with a carrier, you know, not to arrive early if that's the case. So you've got tool sets that allow you to do that as well. And again, a lot of your good tier ones allow you to do that, but I've got to have connectivity with that carrier base as well, so I'm getting accurate real-time reporting. And you know, I'm confirming when a load's picked up. I'm seeing when it's in transit. I'm confirming when it's going to be delivered. You know, all of those things. And those require not only expertise, but the tools to give you that kind of visibility.
Got it. Okay. So let's shift a little from those practical tips to put your visionary hat on for a minute. When you think about kind of where the transportation market, you know, is headed, what are some of the things that are popping up? What are you seeing in terms of, you know, ongoing and upcoming trends from a market perspective?
We're gonna see, even though inflation is, you know, up and down, we're seeing a slow but steady rise in rates. We'll start to see towards the second quarter and going into next year a little bit of tightening of capacity. Mm-hmm. Those are going to have an effect on rates as well, but also on kind of locking in the carriers that you want. So from a, you know, having my crystal ball out in front of me, yeah, you know, for the next 3 or 4 quarters, I think that's what we're going to be looking at. Longer term, you know, some of the trends, I think you're going to see EV start to play a role in the transportation marketplace, and where that's going to become important, obviously from a sustainability standpoint, but also from a standpoint of training and attracting drivers to come in with those. It's going to be easier to drive an EV-based delivery cargo van or tractor trailer to learn on those, et cetera. They're going to be easier to monitor, maintain, and also control, you know, which are all good things. I think you're going to see adoption on that as soon as they get the battery thing figured out here. You're going to see adoption on that come pretty quickly for trucking companies. It'll start in last mile delivery, work its way into larger delivery trucks, and then eventually into tractor trailers. So I think you'll see that occurring over the next decade. Mm-hmm. We always get the question too, well, what about autonomous vehicles? I think that's a little further down the path. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, we've got a lot of infrastructure things that have to be in place before that's going to work real well. So that's going to take a little longer. But I think that's some of the things that you're going to see. You're going to see continued emphasis on intermodal, so that we take the long line hauls out of the mix, because those aren't attractive to drivers and they're more costly than doing it via the rail.
Yeah, that makes sense. And in terms of disruptions, you touched on that a little bit before, and I feel like every day there's a new, a new reason to worry about that. Long term, I guess, do you see any leveling out of the volatility, or should we just kind of buckle in and assume things are going to be that way for a little while now?
I'd love to say we're going to see a reduction in disruptions, but you look at the geopolitical situation, that's not changing anytime soon, and that's going to create different disruptions for different reasons. Mm-hmm. We have natural disasters every year. I mean, we can't predict where or when, but we're going to have hurricanes. We're going to have floods that wipe out railroad bridges. We're going to have tornadoes that, you know, that disrupt things. You know, there will always be, you know, kind of the natural disaster piece. And then, you know, the unpredictable ones where I get a cargo ship sideways in a canal. Hard to predict that. Same thing, you know, that I'm going to have a ship lose all power and run into a bridge and knock out a port for, you know, 3 months while I get the shipping channel back open. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the reality is I need to do contingency planning if I'm a forward thinking company and realize that disruptions are going to be there. I may not be able to predict which ones are the severity, but the minute I think that, you know, things have leveled out, I'm going to end up with a port strike. I'm going to end up, you know, with another, you know, situation that I can't handle. So contingency planning is big. And I think that's, you're going to see a lot of companies make decisions to bring manufacturing and inventory stores closer to the market so that there's less impact when we do have those disruptions.
Yeah, that makes sense. And another one, I think, I don't know if you want to call it a disruption because we've kind of come to expect it, but and you touched on it earlier, the ongoing driver shortage or the ongoing need to figure out how to get the next generation, you know, involved in the trucking and transportation industry. So talk a little bit about that. What are you seeing there at LoadSmart? What are some of the kind of, you know, unique and innovative ways that companies are trying to attract these workers?
From a driver standpoint, there's a lot of things I think that companies are trying. Shorter hauls, you know, getting back home every night, you know, is one thing they're trying to do. I think less and less people want to do the, you know, out for multiple days, you know, going cross country, if I can avoid that. So you're seeing companies get creative to try and do that. I heard of one the other day, which I was intrigued by. I've got a colleague over in Europe whose son is a video gamer. And one of the more popular video games popping up is a truck driving one where they actually have KPIs to meet, pickups to make, things, disruptions that happen. And they're actually online with other gamers talking to them as if they were using a CB radio talking to another truck driver. I think what it's doing is it's creating awareness and exposing a group of potential truck drivers of the future that's out there. And we saw that happen with gaming systems attracting people to becoming drone pilots for the Air Force as well. So, you know, could be some interesting lift that comes from that. I also think we're seeing a increase in people looking for other avenues than just going to college. And I think you'll see, you know, some of that attract people into truck driving if they're doing the right recruiting and they're offering the right incentives and that sort of thing. Other than that, you know, it's going to be continuing to mine as many people as we can coming out of the military. You know, so there's not a silver bullet. It's going to be a mix of things that help us try to keep pace on the number of drivers needed.
Yeah, that video gaming aspect is really interesting and kind of a unexpected, you know, a little out there. And I guess it would fall into the right demographic also, right? I mean, you have a lot of men who play video games who might be enticed into a career that way.
Yeah, to be honest, you want to, if you want to get someone into truck driving, you want to try and catch them, you know, at the age that the Gen Zs are now, you know, in their 20s. You know, maybe looking for a career path, looking to make good money. I think the other thing that we're seeing is, you know, with the gig economy and a lot more last mile delivery driving jobs out there, you're going to see younger people attracted into those as well. It allows them to do, you know, multiple things. It's a fractional, you know, kind of work as you want to kind of scenario. And as we get more and more micro fulfillment and goods being stored closer to market, we'll see a greater dependence on more of the last mile delivery type of transportation versus over the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about partnerships. Obviously, I know LoadSmart works with shippers and carriers, and you're familiar with the importance of partnerships in logistics. You know, just tell me a little bit from your perspective, why is that so key for modern supply chain and logistics to make sure that you have those partnerships working really efficiently?
Yep. I think one of the important aspects to that, and we're partners with a number of folks, not just on the carrier side, but also on the services provision side. Mm-hmm. no one company is going to be all things to everybody. It's just impossible to gain all those capabilities. But you would like, when you go to a potential shipper who's going to work with you, you would like to be able to offer the full gamut of services they need. So you're going to do that through your own offerings, through your own technology, your own people, and through partnerships that you're going to establish with other service providers, with other technology providers to extend the things that you can do. On the carrier side, you obviously want to have good carrier partners. And we see this both in our brokerage as well as, with dedicated carriers on our managed transportation side. But you want those to ensure you've got capacity there and quality capacity there for your client base. So those become, very important. On the carrier side, it's great to have these partnerships because you're not constantly trying to fill your own loads. You're establishing, the kind of capacity and the kind of regularity that you need to manage your business, keep your P&L straight, and become an effective carrier. So it kind of works all the way across the spectrum.
Got it. Yeah. And obviously partnerships aren't all the same, but are there any best practices in general or, do's and don'ts for making those strong partnerships that you could share?
Yeah. I think these are universal. They've been partnerships for a long time or partnership rules for a long time. The partnership, the financial side of it can't favor one party over the other. It can't be a win-lose. It's got to be a win-win. So as you establish partnerships, you've got to be willing to be fair. You've got to be reasonable about, what your margin expectations are. You got to make sure that there's something in it for you, or it becomes just a contractual arrangement, not a partnership. So I think that's key. The other thing I think is redundancy in partnerships. So you don't have all your eggs in one basket. Same reason you want to diversify your carrier base and have primaries and secondaries across given lanes that you have. But being realistic and being honest and transparent with your partners about what your expectations are, how you're operating, and what you both expect to get out of the deal.
Makes sense. Those are great practical tips. I appreciate that. Anything else? Any words of wisdom for our audience? We touched on a lot of things, volatility, the next workforce, AI, electric vehicles. What else, I guess, is on the market and on tap that you might want to share?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the big things we see lots of companies, especially mid-market shippers, companies that range between $50 million and $1 billion in revenue, that are still practicing some old school transportation management principles, things like having a core carrier program and a set routing guide, not being able to take advantage of the marketplace, as it rises and as it falls. You need to be a little more agile, definitely want to be flexible. I think looking at your distribution networks is a great thing to do. As the economy shifts, the demographics shift, as I start getting my goods closer to marketplace, start having micro fulfillment centers instead of major distribution centers or in addition to, now's the time to look at that network. If I've been sitting with the same distribution network for 10, 15, 20 years, might be a good time to look at it because there's probably lots of savings to be had out there, not to mention share to be gained and customer satisfaction to be improved. So those are some of the additional things I would tell our listeners to think about.
Fantastic. Well, great. George, thank you so much for your insights. I appreciate your time today and for stopping by.
Amy, thanks for having me. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for watching this Inbound Logistics video podcast. For more episodes, go to www.inboundlogistics.com.